Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, woe to the complacent in Zion, lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on your couches. Now you shall be the first to go into exile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
151 to zero. 151 and nothing. 1992 to 2004. That's 12 years. That's a really, really long time. You can even put it together that it's added up. It's 7,248 minutes. That's how long it took the Spartans of De La Salle, the football program, to lose a single game. That's 12 years. That's an incredible record. That's amazing. When I was watching our own Foxes destroy Tucumcari on Friday, that's what I was thinking about. You know, we've not lost a game this whole year, right? Do pretty well. They took 12 years before they lost a single game. That's consistency over a long period of time. So you can't just say that it's because they had a crop of great athletes that sprung up. 12 years. So it was obviously something to do with the program, why they were able to do so well. The coach, Coach Bob Lattiser, was a man of great coaching talent, but even more than that, he was able to lead men, to get men to give their best effort, particularly, as we talk about in sports, to give 110%. That's what he was doing, giving beyond what they thought was possible to achieve something which was great. And this is the longest win streak that anybody has ever had in the entirety of the nation. 151 games. Our girls, our Vixens, know about this because they've gone 10 straight years winning the state championship. Maybe they're going to do a movie about them someday. But Coach Bob Lattiser, he was always asked by reporters saying, how is it? How are you able to continue to do this? What is it that you're doing that everybody else isn't? He said, you know, it's not about the streak. I never talk to my men about the streak, about the winning record or anything like that. We don't talk about those things. We're focused on something else. We're focused on making each and every play the best that we can do. When you go into any of his huddles, when you go to any of the times when he had team meetings, whether it was before practices or those times when they'd meet before the games, you'd always hear this one phrase repeated. It's the mantra, it's the motto of that whole program there in Concordia, for that team from Concordia, California. This is what they would say. He would turn to his men and he would say, nobody on this staff here expects you to play a perfect game today. That's something that's impossible. But what we do expect from you, and what you should expect from yourselves, and from the men who are next to you, is that you will give a perfect effort. It's not about being perfect, it's about giving that perfect effort. You see, it's impossible to go through an entire football game. You can talk to anyone who is here who's played to have a perfect game. In fact, it's even tough to have a perfect set of downs or a perfect play even. Something is going to go wrong or something is not going to go as well as it possibly could have. But that's not what's expected. What's expected is that they give maximum effort, that you throw your whole body into it and you leave nothing left on the field. That is what a coach really wants. That is what leads to success. That's what it takes to get 12 straight years, 151 games straight without a loss. Now, unfortunately, Coach McMath will tell you above anything else, the reading which he read there from Amos, they didn't do a good job of that. The people of Israel did not follow God well. They weren't giving God their best effort. They weren't striving to even come anywhere near a perfect effort. In the time of Israel, remember, this is the northern kingdom that Amos is preaching toward. He wasn't a professional preacher anyway. He was a guy who took care of trees and was a sheep herder. Yet, he followed God when he called him to be a prophet. And so when he was preaching to these people, what was going wrong with them is that they had stopped following God the way that they knew that they were called to. They began to settle, to lower their expectations and say, hey, we've got everything that we need. We're living in a bit of luxury. It's not the greatest. It's not the worst. So they were coasting through life, just enjoying the good things that they had at the moment. They became complacent. Well, what did Amos tell them? Amos preached to them. You can read it in your books. You got them right there. I'm going to go over that very quickly. What is it that he says? He says, woe to you complacent in Zion and Israel. You're lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably upon your couches. What does this mean? It means that they're sleeping in beautiful beds, that they're not working when they should be working. They're actually just lounging around like some of you do on Saturdays when you don't got anything to do, right? Just lay in bed for a long time. Well, they were doing it all the time, not just on Saturdays, relaxing, living in luxury. Called them to task for this. He said, what you're doing is you're eating lambs taken from the flock and calves from the stall, feasting upon these things. Well, we live in a ranching community. We know what that's all about, right? When you're having lambs, you're not letting the sheep mature. So you're taking the young, which is tender meat, and saying, look, we don't need to plan for the future. We don't need to look ahead. What we have is good enough now. Let's get the good stuff while it is. Stall-fed calves are much tastier because they don't do any exercise. They just get fat and fat and fat. Really expensive to do those things. That's why the meat costs so much. But that's what they were feasting upon. He was saying they're improvising upon the heart, and like David, devising their own accompaniment. Really what that's saying is, you think you're the greatest. You think that you're the best, that you're giving the maximum effort, but you're not. You think you're as good as King David, who is our great hero. You're just pretending. So what does he say? Amos brings them to task, and he says, this is the charge I bring against you. You are not made ill by the collapse of your nation. That doesn't hurt you. The fact that you know that you're not doing well. And because of this, because of your complacency, you're going to be the first ones to go into exile before everybody else does. What happened? Well, if you look at it very clearly in the historical record, in 722 BC, that's what happened. The Assyrians came down, King Sennacherib, and wiped out the entirety of Israel. Remember, Israel is the 10 tribes in the north, the ones who are supposed to be stronger than these two southern ones. Yet because they turned their hearts from God and no longer worshipped him, didn't heed the words of Amos, they're led into slavery. Their people are scattered across the nations. And in fact, their names are never heard from again. From then on, when you hear about the people of Israel, really it's just talking about the southern two tribes. They never become heir to the kingdom. Scattered, they lose God, they lose everything. So what is our Lord trying to speak to us today, so many thousands of years later? He's saying the same thing. God's words does not change. He says the same thing continually. Turn yourselves back to me. He's calling us, he's saying to us, look, what you got to do is, where are you here in Fort Sumner in St. Anthony's Parish? Where have you become complacent? Where have you said, this is good enough? Have we become complacent within our spiritual lives? Are we still praying the same way we were when we first learned to pray as little kids at our first communion? Are we content with the same faith knowledge that we have in our studies, knowing about God, that we were when we were 10 years old, when we received that sacrament, or maybe at our confirmation at 16 or whatever? Are we content with that? Are we still acting clannishly or only looking out for ourselves or for our close family members instead of looking at what the greater need of the whole community is? Are we complacent? Or are we striving each and every day to give our best to God, to grow in these ways? You know, our parish has a lot of problems, doesn't it? You look today, we don't have as many people as we normally do have today. There could be various reasons for that. We have problems, real problems. If you've been following those financial reports that we put on the wall from time to time, you'll see that sometimes that we're not doing incredibly horribly, but we're not doing well. We're not being able to store up for when something breaks, God forbid. Financially, we're not doing as good as we need to be doing. There's a problem with that. Do you know what the percentage of Catholics there are here in our fair Fort Sumner? It's pretty awesome. I was really excited when I first came here. 38%. 38% claim to be Catholic. I know it's more than that. But 38% at least put it on their census form. That's incredible. You know what that means? That means every Sunday there should be, at minimum, 380 people here worshiping God, praising and receiving the Eucharist. That's not what happens, right? That's a problem. That's a serious, serious problem, that Catholics aren't receiving God's love here in the Mass. That's complacency. Complacency. We need to strive to give the perfect effort. Another problem we have is, did you notice that our catechism program hasn't started yet? Do you know why that is? The reason is because we don't have enough teachers to be able to start it just yet. A few people have come in, but we don't have enough. That's a real problem. If we don't have the ability, or we aren't teaching our young people how to follow God, how are they going to carry it on in their lives, and how is our parish going to be what it's supposed to be? We need that. And if you don't think that you can teach, you don't got to be a genius. You don't got to study for years. Each and every Catholic should be able to carry on the faith which God has put within them. If you can't teach a young child how to love God in an intimate way, you got to ask yourself, maybe you're not. Maybe you got to prepare something else for your salvation, because if you can't pass that on to them, God help us. Complacency. Another problem is we have is with our fiestas. You know, every time we talk about fiestas, people say, yeah, it'd be great to have, but I don't want to do the work for it. You know why? Because for the past number of years, it's all been upon those who are of advanced age, let us say. They're the ones doing the major work in that. Well, the fiesta is supposed to be a celebration of our great patron, St. Anthony, of how we have this deep devotion to him, following God. It shouldn't be a struggle. What we need is people to step up, young people to be able to take that upon themselves, to build this up so that people can feel welcome back into our parish community, that we can come back with joy. That's what our fiesta is supposed to be about. You know, we're going to have a meeting about that this upcoming week. Check the bulletin. I believe it's on the 29th. Another problem that we have, though, and it's worse than all these others that I've talked about, a lack of unity. You know, there's people who've come up to me over the past 4 weeks who've come up to me and talking about the difficulties that we have. They say, Father, what's going on in our parish? It doesn't feel like we're together. It doesn't feel like we're united anyways. Like we're all separated in different groups. We don't come together very much. And you know what? During our parish potlucks, there's been a decline in those who have come to it. Those people who are speaking Spanish stay over there. Those who are speaking English are over here. Those who are from this or from that are all separated into their communities. But that is not what we are. What unites us, brothers and sisters? Jesus Christ. He who is in the Eucharist. We all receive from the same bread. We all drink from the same cup. We receive the same Lord. Why are there divisions? We have to come together. Otherwise, we'll be torn asunder. What is it that Abraham Lincoln used to say to us? Huh? Remember what he said? He's quoting scripture, by the way. He said, a house divided against itself will not stand. Jesus said that before Abraham did. Complacency. Complacency, that's a failure to strive to give the perfect effort. That's what God is calling for us. Now, we need to do something to change this. Because I don't want our parish to fail. You know, there's people who have talked about it. You know it very well. 20 years we didn't have a priest, right? That's hard. 20 years the Eucharist wasn't celebrated with great consistency here. That's a hard thing. And when I talk to people from other places, talk to other priests, they say, oh yeah, we know about what's going on in Fort Sumner. We know it's really, really difficult there. Well, you know, maybe sometime soon they're going to have to close that place because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot moving there. You know when people say that? That really hurts me. It really hurts me because I don't see that in you. When I look at you, I see such great potential. So many good things. I can start to name off, I won't right now because it'll embarrass you all, I can name off each one of you who give yourself entirely, who strive to beautify this place, who come here daily to pray. And I know some people who come even when the church is locked up to pray just standing outside the doors. There are great things here. There is great potentiality. We need to tap into it. And that means breaking out of complacency, breaking out of the way things always were. We just got to bring those things out. What I want us to do is I want us to start making St. Anthony's Parish here in Fort Sumner great again. To strive to bring things to the fore. Because we once were a great parish. There was once many things going on here, many different ministries. Many of those have fallen away. It's time to start again. We need to make St. Anthony's great again. And maybe you'll accuse me of trying to turn you all into Trump supporters or something like that by using his motto. But we can make our parish great again. That's what our Lord is calling for us. To give that perfect effort. The best that we can. Now, what I've got for you is a proposal. My young altar servers and the ushers are going to pass out to you right now a little sheet, a little card that we made up. Remember, I was talking about to you about Coach Bob Lattesser. What he did was each and every practice, each and every week, he would hand them a note card. And each one of the players would write down on it their goals for that week. Then start out with saying, here is what I am going to do in practice so that I can achieve these goals. Then they'd say, here's what I want to do during the game. And this is my goal for that. So I'll give you an example. Say I was Father Burnaby, I'd say, my goal in practice is that every day after practice, I'm going to stay after and run 10 wind sprints. I'm going to go into the weight room and crank out 50 or so reps on the bench press. That way I'm ready to be able to go there and to give my best. Then for the game, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have 20 carries. I'm going to make 7 tackles. I'm going to have 150 yards. And I'm going to have no dropped passes. After each one would do that, what they would do, they would stand up and given that before the whole of the people. And then they'd turn to one of their brothers who was there standing with them and they'd say, here's my card. Here's my commitment card. Will you hold me to this? And then that man would take that card from him, give him a nice bro hug, and he'd say, I will hold you to that. I'll hold you to this. You know, that's what I'm asking you to do today. Maybe that's what we need. We need to recommit ourselves to following God in a radical and intimate way. To commit ourselves to what is it going to need? Remember, it's right there on the very top of your sheet. What am I going to do to grow in my knowledge of God? You make a goal for that. You write it down. What am I going to do to allow myself to love God more, to engage more deeply in prayer, to know what His person is? You write a goal down there. There's some suggestions. Then on the backside, it talks about ways of service. Because when we know and love God, it moves us forward into service. What am I going to do for those outside of my family? But especially, what am I going to do so that my parish here in St. Anthony's does well, achieves the goal which God has called us to? Some of the things there, read them off there. Maybe I need to increase my tithing so that I can give actually the 10% that God asked me to, not anything less. I don't want to steal from God. Maybe what our Lord is calling you to... What am I going to do in that regard? Maybe what I need to do is I need to teach catechism. I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to step forward and help out the parish so that our young people fall in love with Jesus Christ. Maybe to volunteer to do some repairs or cleaning around the place so that it's beautiful again. Maybe what our Lord is calling me to do is to become a part of the parish council or to join the choir so we can have beautiful music during Mass. I know you have beautiful voices. I just heard you sing a few moments ago. Our Lord is calling us to do these things, maybe even to visit those inactive Catholics who are no longer coming, to bring them steadily back. That is a great grace. What is our Lord calling you to do to move out of this complacency, to make a commitment? You know, there are two sheets there. Why are there two sheets? One's for you. Then you write down everything you wrote on the top one and do it on the bottom. And you hand that to a friend. Maybe that's to your spouse. Maybe that's to a good friend of yours. Maybe it's to somebody here in the parish and you say, will you hold me to this commitment? You know what? If you want to drop one or make another copy and put it in the offering plate, I will hold you accountable to it too. I'll do that for you. Because our Lord is calling us to do something great in this parish. To make it great once again. Think about it. Make a commitment. Rouse yourselves from that complacency. Because our Lord is calling. You know, this is probably going to make you think a little differently. Maybe it'll explain how weird your pastor is. But my favorite artist, is a man by the name of Tupac Shakur, a rapper. From my earlier days. And one of his songs changes. He used to say this. In the middle of the song, it says, it's time to make a change. We as a people need to start making some changes. We need to change the way we eat, change the way we live, change the way we treat each other because the old way wasn't working. So it's on us to do what we got to do to survive. You know what? Our Lord is calling us to do something beyond surviving, brothers and sisters. He wants us to actually thrive, to succeed, to do great. That's what he's called us to be, not to settle for anything less. That's why Coach used to say, he says, make big goals that stretch your abilities but are doable when giving the perfect effort. That's all our Lord asks. Give yourself to me the very best that you can, and I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your family. I'll take care of your parish. Strive to give that perfect effort. Now, nobody in this parish expects you to do perfectly. I don't do perfectly. Some of the things that I'm going to commit to do, I'll let you know right now. I accidentally passed out my sheet that I wrote down stuff on, so maybe one of you has it. But I'll let you know what some of the things that I put down on mine. I commit to you that every single person who asks me to pray for them, who comes up with a difficulty within their lives, I'm going to pray for you by name each day until you tell me that the situation is better. That's a commitment I make to you. Another commitment to our parish is that I will make it to every single home football game. And I will walk all throughout the stands to see if I can meet with each and every person, even those people who don't like me, so that we can bring people back to Christ. Those are some of the things that we need to do. I'm going to commit to you that every single time somebody gives me a phone call or somebody sends me a text message, by the end of the day, no matter how tired I am, I'm going to return that call. Those are little things. Just a few of the ones that I wrote down. Those are commitments to rouse ourselves out of complacency. Father Burnaby needs to work on that too. So I don't ask you, and nobody here expects you to be perfect Christians, to be perfect Catholics. No, perfection is for Christ. But what we do ask is that each of you expect from yourselves, that you expect for the person who's in the pews in front of you and the pews behind you, that you're going to give a perfect effort to grow in your faith, to serve Christ, and to fall in love with Him. Because that's what our lives are all about. Rouse yourself from that complacency. And strive to give a perfect effort. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.